Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, December 5th, 2021, Romans.
All right, before we get started, we had a birthday on Friday, but there was no class on Friday. And Chris Builder, he is Chef, here he is, Chef Chris Builder. Chef Chris Builder, you got your birthday present there. And this is the guy from Those Guys Pies. Those Guys Pies, the best pizza in the state of Nevada, Western United States, America, the universe. That covers it. So if you're into pizza, Those Guys Pies and Chef Chris Builder, happy birthday. You don't look 95. No.
That's all that pizza eating.
Well, well, you've been eating a little bit of pizza yourself there, you know. Pot calling the kettle black. I don't know. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have this morning of assembling in freedom to worship the Lord Jesus Christ through the study of the Mind of Christ Bible doctrine. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, all month, Debbie is with the little people, preparing the Christmas play, and every year it's I keep saying every year it's the best one. She's been getting better for 140 years. So they're in there preparing for the Christmas play. It'll be on I believe is 19th on a Sunday. 19th Sunday, yeah. That Sunday before Christmas, that will be the Christmas play. This is an opportunity for you. A local church is primarily to feed the sheep. The main purpose is to feed the sheep, teach the Word of God to those who have already believed in Christ as their Savior. But that Christmas play, the second class, will be the little people putting on the Christmas play, and it is designed to present the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is a great time for you to, if there's family, friends, loved ones, those in your neighborhood, people you would like to have hear the gospel, bring them to the Christmas play, the second class, and they will hear the good news about Jesus Christ. This is the time to do it. It's always fantastic, and it's little people putting it on, so you never know exactly what they're going to do. And there's always a lot of great things. Also, we have out, and it's not out, it's over here where the coffee pot used to be. We have in red and green, notice red and green, not orange, red and green, we have the night before Christmas. This is the Divine Viewpoint night before Christmas. And a lot of people have asked us, they want to put these in their Christmas card. Now, you may have already sent your Christmas cards. If that's the case, take them anyway and put them in a letter and send it to them. But if you want to put these in your Christmas card, you're welcome to do so. Take as many as you want. If you take all of them, no problem. We'll print more. If you want to know what it says, read it. No, I will read it to you. The night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the land, no one yet knew that the night would be grand. The people were coming to Bethlehem town for the census of Caesar. All names must go down. Joseph and Mary had nowhere to stay, till an innkeeper showed them a place they could lay. And settle they did amongst the hay and the straw, to wait for Christ's birth with reverence and awe. When out in the field there arose such a sight, that the shepherds fell down on their faces in fright. Arrayed in the sky with glory all round, the angels were casting their light on the ground. The message they gave was one of great joy. They proclaimed the good news of a new baby boy. Then what to their wondering ears did they hear but news of great joy? The Savior is here. Don't be afraid, we bring you great news of a babe in a manger. There's no time to lose. Then the heavenly host of angels did cry, glory to God on earth and on high. From far in the east, wise men followed a star. King Herod asked them, what's brought you so far? The King of the Jews, the King of all kings, the star led us here. We've brought beautiful things. So leaving King Herod, they went on their way, till the star shone down on the place where he lay. So to the king they kneeled and bowed. The Messiah was worshipped by this humble crowd. Then, in a twinkling, the shepherds all knew to tell others of Christ was what they must do. As they drew near the door, they turned with a smile. Mary and Joseph, you rest for a while. The kings turned to leave. They'd accomplished their quest. Another route home they decided was best. Then in the quiet of that stable so small, slept the Lord of all lords, the Creator of all. His time on this earth had only begun. And all heaven was watching God's only Son. A life with one purpose was about to begin. A spiritual battle he knew he must win. A life without sin and a heart full of grace. His reason for coming was the cross he would face. To die for us all on that cross all alone, for the sins of all men, Christ's death would atone. And what should we do? Does Christ need our good? No. All of our works are stubble and wood. The faith of a child, so trusting and true, to believe in the Christ is all we must do. The gospel proclaims, believe in the Lord. Again and again we can read in His Word. Then when our time on this earth is all through, to a mansion we'll go with a body that's new. To believe that Christ died in your place long ago means when He comes for you, to heaven you'll go. This wondrous good news, we know it is right. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. That's the divine viewpoint the night before Christmas. You're welcome to take these, as many as you want. If you want to put them in your Christmas cards or send them to family, friends, loved ones, whatever, they're there for you. Again, they're out here where the coffee pot used to be. All right. Romans chapter 3. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 21. But now, the righteousness from the source of God, totally apart from the self-righteous works of the law, has been caused to be revealed, being given as testimony by the law and the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures. That is the righteousness from the source of God by means of faith in Jesus Christ for all the ones who believe. That is for any member of the human race who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Parenthesis. For you see, there is absolutely no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, come short of the absolute righteousness of God. Close parenthesis. Verse 24. Being declared righteous, plus R, receiving justification, as a gift by means of His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, whom God the Father, has publicly displayed as the mercy seat, the place of propitiation, by means of His blood, His salvation work of Christ on the cross, through faith in Christ, for a demonstration of His righteousness, because of the passing over of previously committed sins, sins committed before the cross, by the clemency of God, the delay in judgment from God. Verse 26. For the demonstration of His righteousness at the present time, with the result that He, God the Father, is righteous, and He is the one who declares righteous those who have faith in Jesus. Verse 27. Where then is that act of boasting, that act of self-righteous arrogance? It is totally eliminated. By what kind of law? The law of works? Absolutely not, but by the law of faith. So then, we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous, by means of faith, totally apart from the works of the law. And that brings us to the end of chapter 3, verses 29 and 30. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ removes all racial issues. That's verses 29 and 30. Verse 29 sounds like this. Or is the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of course, he is the God of the Gentiles also. And then we closed last time. You have 5 points, right, Gary Brown?
That's correct, sir.
See, that guy's right on the ball. 5 points. So let's review those 5 points and then continue on. Verse point one, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. You have in the Bible many times the word God is holy, be holy, for I am holy. And the holiness of God is made up of the attributes, the absolute righteousness of God and the perfect justice of God. And therefore, point two, God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, and infinitely fair with all mankind. Infinitely fair with every race, every person. That is the integrity, the righteousness, and justice of God. Three, and therefore God never plays the race card with mankind. That's never an issue to God. Four, in Operation Grace, the cross, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all the sins of the Jews and all the sins of the Gentiles. And that's how the Bible looks at the entire human race. There are Jews and there's everything else. I'm in the everything else category. But that's every member, every race, every people, they're all included. In Operation Grace, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all the sins of the Jews and all the sins of the Gentiles. Five, therefore, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will never perish, but will have the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness, justification by faith. Point six. Not only does the Bible remove the race issue, so also the Constitution of the United States of America makes no issue of race. The Bible removes the race issue, and not only that, but we live in the current client nation to God, the United States of America, and we have a very amazing constitution. And that constitution makes no issue of race. Now, our constitution is absolutely phenomenal. But for that constitution to work, there must be integrity and virtue and honor in the nation. But when our nation departs from integrity and virtue and honor, then the Constitution of our nation, as great as it is, will not protect our nation. Seven. So any time an American government is making any issue out of race, they are violating the Constitution of the United States. Anytime an American government is making any issue out of race, they are violating the Constitution of the United States. Eight. Therefore, playing the race card, and this seems to be the MO of Americans today, and especially politicians. Playing the race card is the result of reversionism and evil. It is 100% wrong. It is 100% evil. It is 100% contrary to integrity and honor and virtue. Don't ever be involved as a believer in Jesus Christ as playing the race card. Race is a total non-issue. And you hear, you see these different organizations, Black Lives Matter. Did you know that Black Lives Matter was founded by communists? The ones who founded it were communists, and they're living in multi-million dollar mansions in Florida, making all this money? Black Lives Matter, sure. All lives matter to God. All lives matter. Hell, even Norwegian lives matter. That's why Christ died for my sins too. If Scandinavian lives matter, and then there's people that go barefoot and they're getting ready to go hunting, you know. I don't know if those lives matter. All lives matter. God is not willing that any should perish. Not one member of the human race. No matter what your race is, it's not an issue. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A change of thinking about Jesus Christ, to simply believe in Christ and have the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. So playing the race card is the result of reversionism and evil. 9, all races are eligible for eternal salvation. Anyone, any place, anywhere. Color of skin makes no difference. Race makes no difference. All races are eligible for eternal salvation. That's what God is saying here at the end of Romans 3. 10. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile, has equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile, has equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. 11. In the grace plan of God, no race has the advantage over any other race. In the grace plan of God, no race has the advantage over any other race. So again, the Apostle Paul, at the end of Romans chapter 3, verse 29, or is the God, the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of course he is the God of the Gentiles also. And then he continues in verse 30. Seeing it is one God. This is the conjunction a pair plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the numerical adjective heis. The conjunction a pair looks like this. In the Greek, E-I-P-E-R, aper. And aper means since, or since indeed. And then ha-theos, the God, and then the numerical adjective heis. Oops. There's the letter H, a mouth breathing over the word, H H-A-S-T-E-I-S. And haste means one. Now there's no verb here. The absence of the verb makes this very, very emphatic. It is emphasizing the fact that God is one. One in essence. God is one in essence. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have the very same essence, the very same attributes. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. So this says, corrected translation, since God is one, since God is one in essence, who shall justify the circumcision by faith, and that's the first group. This is the relative pronoun host plus the future active indicative of dikaiō, which we've had again and again and again in Romans 3, plus the accusative singular of peritome, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive singular of pistis. The nominative singular of the relative pronoun hosts. Why did I do that? H-O-S, hosts. The nominative singular relative pronoun host refers back to its antecedent, the God. And then the verb dikaiō. This is the great verb for the doctrine of justification. D-I-K-A-I-O, long O, dikaiō. And just a couple of things again on this. One, dikaiō means to justify. It means to vindicate. Literally, it means to declare one to be righteous. So when you say justified, God has imputed his righteousness to you at the moment of your faith in Christ, and he declares you to be righteous or justified or vindicated. Two, at the a-o ending, very important, and that is the causative ending. God is caused to justify the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Three, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputes his righteousness to the believer and then declares the believer to be righteous. So at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Father imputes his righteousness to the believer and then declares the believer to be righteous. The future tense is a predictive future. The predictive future makes a simple statement that something will come to pass. Point four, anytime a Jew believes in Jesus Christ, he is declared righteous by means of his faith in Christ. So any time any Jew believes in Christ, he is declared righteous by means of his faith in Christ. He is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The active voice, God the Father performs the action of justifying every Jew who believes in Christ. The indicative mood is declarative. This is an absolute truth of the Word of God. And then the noun peritome. Peritome, P-E-R-I-T-O-M, long E. Peritome. Peritome is the Greek word for circumcision. And here it refers to the ones who are circumcised, specifically referring to the Jews. And then ek plus the genitive means by reason of, as a result of. And then Pistis is faith. So the corrected translation, since God is one in essence, who will justify the circumcision, the Jews by faith in Christ, and the uncircumcision through faith. This is the conjunction chi, plus the accusative singular of akrobustia, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the genitive of pistis with the definite article. Chi is connective, correctly translated and. And now we have akrobustia in contrast to peritome. Akrobustia. Akrobustia. Akrobustia, literally, it means uncircumcised men, and it's used specifically here to refer to all Gentiles. In the ancient world at this time, the Jews were the ones who were circumcised following the Mosaic law that had been given to them, but the Gentiles were uncircumcised. And so this refers to the rest of the human race, the Gentiles. And then the preposition dia plus the genitive. And you being an enlightened congregation, you can stand up and teach dia. Dia plus the genitive, instrumentality, by means of. Dia plus the accusative, because of, on account of. We have dia plus the genitive, and it's translated by means of or through. And then through, taste pisto, that very same faith. So the corrected translation, since God is one in essence, who will justify the circumcision, the Jews, by faith in Jesus Christ, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, through that same faith in Christ. No difference. All right, so verses 29 and 30. Or is the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of course he is the God of the Gentiles also. Since God is one in essence, who will justify the circumcision, the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, through that same faith. One. On the cross, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. All the sins of the Jews and all the sins of the Gentiles. Why? Because he's infinitely fair. Infinite integrity. Infinite virtue. So on the cross, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. All the sins of the Jews and all the sins of the Gentiles. Two, race doesn't have anything to do with it. Race doesn't have anything to do with it. Three, when you make an issue out of race, you are totally involved with evil. And unfortunately today in America, we are in apostasy. Politicians, they're always throwing out the race card. And it's the most evil, divisive, destroying thing that can happen. It's destroying the United States of America as a client nation to God. We're witnessing the destruction of the client nation to God. And this is one of the main ways that they are using. It's totally wrong. 100% evil. And it's destroying this nation. When you make an issue out of race, you are totally involved with evil. Four, both Jews and Gentiles receive eternal salvation the exact same way. Both Jews and Gentiles receive eternal salvation the exact same way, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Both Jews and Gentiles receive eternal salvation the exact same way, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 5. The Jews have the law. The Gentiles do not have the law. Both of them receive eternal salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. The Jews have the law. The Gentiles do not have the law. But both of them receive eternal salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. 6. For all races, all peoples, eternal salvation comes only one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. For all races, all peoples, eternal salvation comes only one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Turn over to John 14. The Lord is having a Bible class. See, you thought you were coming here and getting the Bible class. The Lord is having a Bible class in John 14. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the hados. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And then he says, I am the truth, aletheia. That's the word for absolute truth. Absolute truth. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father. What does that mean? No one, where's the Father? In heaven. No one comes to the Father. That means no one will come to heaven where the Father is except through me. Except through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There's only one way. There's only one Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And he declared dogmatically, I am the way, I am the absolute truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Period. So for all races, all peoples, eternal salvation comes only one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. 7. At the moment of faith in Christ, the righteousness of God is imputed to the believer. And God declares the believer to be righteous. Plus R. He has the righteousness that comes from God by faith in Christ. So at the moment of faith in Christ, the righteousness of God is imputed to the believer. And God declares the believer to be righteous. 8. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what your race is. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what your race is. God does this for every race. Nine, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only Savior for everyone. So again, verses 29 and 30, or is thee God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of course he is the God of the Gentiles also. Since God is one in essence, who will justify the circumcision, the Jews, by faith, faith in Christ, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, through that same faith. One, since God is one in essence, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all agree that salvation is only by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Since God is one in essence, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all agree that salvation is only by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Two, there is not, underline not, that's N-O-T, not K-N-O-T. There is not one way of salvation for the Jews and another way of salvation for the Gentiles. There is not one way of salvation for the Jews and another way of salvation for the Gentiles. Three, everyone is saved the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone is saved the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Four, there is not one way of salvation in the Old Testament and a different way of salvation in the New Testament. There is not one way of salvation in the Old Testament and another way of salvation in the New Testament. Five, it is blasphemy to teach that salvation in the Old Testament, was by keeping the works of the law, but salvation in the New Testament is by faith. That is blasphemy. It is blasphemy to teach that salvation in the Old Testament was by keeping the works of the law, but salvation in the New Testament is by faith. And then that brings us to the conclusion. Verse 31. See, some of you didn't think we were going to finish chapter 3 before the rapture. Now, we still have a verse to go so the rapture could take place. So it's signless and timeless. No man knows the day or the hour. Romans 3:31, the conclusion. Now, here's the principle. Justification by faith in Christ does not cancel the true purpose of the Mosaic Law. Justification by faith in Christ does not cancel the true purpose of the Mosaic Law. Do we then make void the law through faith? We have the conjunction un plus the present active indicative of katargao plus the accusative singular of namas plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive of pistis with the definite article. Un is an inferential conjunction. That's O-U-N. All right? Need some water? Need booze? Okay. We have to talk to Chris Jones if you need booze. Un is an inferential conjunction denoting that what it introduces is the result of or inference from what precedes. It may be translated so, therefore, consequently, accordingly, or then. And then the verb katargao. That's K-A-T-A-R-G-E long O. Katargeo. Now, katargeo means to make ineffective or to make powerless. That's literal. The literal translation is to make ineffective or to make powerless. Figuratively, it means to make invalid or to nullify or to abrogate or to cancel. Abrogate's a great word. It's just a lot of people don't know what abrogate is. To cancel. And so that's what it means here. We will translate it to nullify. To nullify or to cancel. Namas refers to the Mosaic Law. Dia plus the genitive is, again, by means of, through. Tais pisteos, through that same faith. So the corrected translation. Do we then nullify or cancel the Mosaic Law through that same faith? Now, for those of you who have been here, enlightened congregation, meganoita! Ooh! Well, I tell you, when Paul throws that in, meganoita, that's as strong as you can get. Meganoita, this is me plus the aorist middle optative of genomai. Meganoita is the strongest negation in the Greek. It means by no means, far from it. It's translated a lot of times in the King James, God forbid. Absolutely not, even though there's no word theos for God there. But anyway, it's translated. They know it's the strongest negation in the Greek. So by no means, far from it, God forbid, absolutely not, meganoita. And then he concludes, yea, we establish the law. This is the adversative conjunction, Allah, plus the present active indicative of histano, plus the accusative singular of namas. Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. Strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. And Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 37, tells us that following this strongest of all negatives, when you have, I'll show you what meganoita looks like. There you go. When Allah follows meganoita, then it should be translated no instead of that, or not at all, rather, or on the contrary. And we're going to translate it on the contrary. And then the intransitive verb histano. The normally you see histemi. We don't have histemi. It's histano, to stand. As a transitive verb, which is what we have, it means to establish, to confirm, to make valid. So the corrected translation. Do we then nullify or cancel the Mosaic Law through that same faith? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Wow. Now, Paul's being very dogmatic here, but then Paul knows what he's talking about. Most Christians don't have a clue what they're talking about, but Paul knows exactly what he used to be involved in the law and Pharisee of the Pharisees. And now, through the grace of God, God took the worst sinner who ever lived. Did you know the worst sinner who ever lived was the Apostle Paul? He's the worst sinner who ever lived. He declares that. And God took the worst sinner who ever lived. He believed in Jesus Christ and he became the greatest believer of all time. Do we then nullify, cancel the Mosaic Law through that same faith? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we establish the law. One, faith in Christ for salvation does not nullify the true purpose of the Mosaic Law. Paul says it dogmatically. Faith in Christ for salvation does not nullify the true purpose of the Mosaic Law. Two, there is no conflict between justification by faith and the true purpose of the Mosaic Law. There is no conflict between justification by faith and the true purpose of the Mosaic Law. Three, the true function of the Mosaic Law has never been abrogated by teaching that salvation is only by faith in Jesus Christ. The true function of the Mosaic Law has never been abrogated by teaching that salvation is only by faith in Jesus Christ. Four, the law confirms man's sinfulness and spiritual death. The law confirms man's sinfulness and spiritual death. You look at the commandments. No one has kept the commandments except one person, Jesus Christ. The impeccable God-man, Jesus Christ, is the only one who kept the Mosaic Law. And James writes, if you break one commandment, you're guilty of all. You're guilty of all of them if you break one. You're sinful, you're in spiritual death, and you need a Savior. And that's the purpose, to point out that man is sinful, in spiritual death, and needs a Savior. Five, the law proclaims his need for salvation and then points to Jesus Christ as the only Savior. The law proclaims his need for salvation and then points to Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Six, faith in Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. Seven, the law itself cannot save anyone. The law can't save anyone, but it points the way to salvation. The law itself can't save anyone, but it points the way to salvation. And when you study the Old Testament Scriptures, look at all the Jews in the Old Testament Scriptures who have eternal salvation. How did they get it? Faith in Jesus Christ. Who's the pattern? Abraham. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham. All the Jews go, oh, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, we follow him. No, you don't. You're arrogant, self-righteous, and impressed with your works and trying to keep the works of the law. You don't follow them at all. Abraham believed in Jesus Christ, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He's the pattern for all Jews. He's the pattern for all Gentiles. So the law itself can't save anyone, but it points the way to salvation. Eight. The fact that many thousands of Jews believed in Jesus Christ for salvation proves the effectiveness that salvation is by grace through faith. And it also proves that the justification by faith doesn't abrogate the law, it establishes the law. How does it establish the law? Both as an instrument of condemnation, the law is an instrument of condemnation. Points out that we're sinners, we're spiritually dead, we need a Savior, and it points the mean is a means of evangelization. The law is both an instrument of condemnation and the law is the means of evangelization. And look at all the Jews who believed in Jesus Christ and have eternal salvation. And Father Abraham, he believed in Jesus Christ when he was a Gentile, before he was ever a Jew. And he was justified by faith in Christ. He didn't become a Jew until a long time later when he was circumcised. And then you just go through. Jeremiah believed in Jesus Christ. Isaiah believed in Jesus Christ. David believed in Jesus Christ. All of them. They had all. What did they have? They had the greatest system of evangelization in the ancient world, the law. It pointed out that they were sinners, spiritually dead, that they needed a Savior, and then pointed to Jesus Christ as the only Savior. And thousands of Jews believed in Jesus Christ and were justified by faith. Ta-da! Romans 3 is in the can. So when you come next Sunday, Romans chapter 4. See, I wasn't even sure I was going to get it done. I ran over a little bit. Sorry, Dodie. I know I'm pushing your back here, but tough. Here you go. We'll take a break. You need the break. Get out and walk around and come back for the Lord's table.